Amen. Aren't you glad to be in God's house tonight? We're glad that you are here. I'm thankful for the Nails. They are here and visiting with us. They're on vacation. And glad that they would come by and see us. He pastors the First Baptist Bible Church over in Glendale, technically now. And thankful for that. It's good to see them and great to see them coming to church. Always go to church, even on vacation. Go to church, even on vacation. If you got your Bibles, just go back to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'm going to look into it as we study, study the life of an individual tonight that most of us know quite a bit about, but maybe look at it from a maybe a little bit different perspective. But Acts chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading verse number 8, and then we'll read down through to the end of verse number 15. Acts chapter 8, and then we'll read down through to verse number 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Syrians and Alexandrians of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and he shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we have. We thank you for the rain that we've received these last few days, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for our missionaries, and we're thankful for their willingness to go and to serve the Lord in the place you've called them. We pray that you bless them, keep them safe tonight. We pray, Lord, you be with Miss Tina and others that are not feeling well. We pray that you put your hand of healing upon them and give them grace and rest and healing. We pray, Lord, you be with us tonight as we study your word tonight and our prayer time as well. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus tonight on Stephen. Stephen was a deacon, and really he epitomizes who really every man of a church should strive to be and should strive to try to be or to emulate in their life. He was the prime example of the layman that every church needs. The church of Jerusalem here was at a time of expansion. They were growing very, very rapidly. Really, by chapter 6, one could say, honestly, that they had between 10 to 15,000 members. You read how many people were being added to the church, and they were being daily added to the church. And so there was a great expansion to the church of Jerusalem, and we would love to have that kind of expansion in our churches in America today. Unfortunately, it's not happening. There are still folks being saved and still folks being baptized, and it's a blessing to hear, but the church of Jerusalem here were on fire, and it wasn't really because of the apostles. The apostles were doing the work and doing the ministry, and they were serving the Lord. They were preaching, and you read the beginning of chapter number 6, and you can tell by the numbers that they were running around like chickens with their heads cut off. They had more than they could possibly handle, and the ministry was exploding, and they were going everywhere trying to serve, trying to preach, trying to study, doing all these things. And so there rose a need. They had a need, and they needed help to be able to take this ministry, to be able to take this opportunity on, and to be able to continue to reach people for Christ. And it had gotten to the point where the pastors were spending more time trying to be a blessing and trying to serve rather than doing what God called them to do. They were called to preach. They were called to pray. They were called to lead the church in the spiritual matters. But their time was being consumed by all of this busybody and by all this work. And so they come to the church and they present the need to the church and they give some examples and they give really some qualifications. We're looking for some men, and really verse number 3 describes the character of this man, Stephen. So in verse number 3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It's interesting as they begin to talk to the church about who they needed and to be able to fill these roles. They didn't say, we need to find some more preachers. We need to find some more pastors. We need to find some more missionaries. What they said is, we need some workers within our own church. We need some men within our own church that are faithful men, that are of honest report, meaning these are men that we could count on. These were men that we knew were faithful, and these were men that we knew were men that would be there when the doors were open to be able to serve and to be able to work. This was going to be a great responsibility for these men. And here was this man, Stephen. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't even a prominent man. Stephen isn't even mentioned until Acts chapter 6 here. He was just a man within the church. And we know that in a church this size, there were other men as well. They had to pick out of this huge group, seven men. But honestly, there was probably more than seven. The church had to pray. Who among of all of our men could we lead? And Stephen was mentioned first. And so, therefore, I honestly believe he was the first one they thought of. When we look about this huge group of 10,000 people and this group of people here and these men here and these over here, who do we find? They didn't find a pastor. They didn't find an apostle. They weren't looking for another Paul. They were just looking for a man that they could use, that would be willing to be used. And he was unknown until Acts chapter 6. And really, honestly, even after chapter 7, he will only be mentioned twice again after Acts chapter 8. And really, in those two times, it was just given of a testimony and just to get him to take him to be buried. He never even been mentioned again past chapter 8 in reality. Philip and others, they had a ministry beyond, but Stephen wasn't interested in any of those things. And so I really wanted to focus in on Stephen. What made Stephen special? What made him something that the church looked out and they had a choice of all the men within their church? Who do we choose first? And so we can see some characteristics tonight. I'd like to see some characteristics that really, especially we as men, but obviously Scripture applies to everyone, but especially men, these are characteristics that churches need. Churches need more men. They need more men to stand up and say, this is the way that we will be and serve in church. I like the one thing we do, and I've had different, my father-in-law ever loved it, that we have the men come and pray during church services. My father-in-law loved that. He said, if I'd known about that, I'd be doing that every time, having the men come up and to pray. But there's some things here that I want us to see and look into his life and maybe make some application to us as well. So first of all, we see that he was full of faith. Verse number 8 there in Stephen, the first way to describe him, he was full of faith and power. First of all, he was full of faith. This was a faith that described him as a doubt, no doubt or fear within his heart. He had full faith and trust in God. He was going to face some very difficult times later on. And because of his faith in God, he trusted in God above everything else. He trusted in God above his own knowledge, above his own influence, his own intellect. He was full of faith. There was no doubt in his mind at all. Hebrews 13:6 mentions to serve regardless of man and have faith in God. Guess what? Times are going to get hard. It's already hard, but times are going to get even harder. I can imagine, it was a blessing to be able to see as we had our quotes up for the 4th of July and all of our founding fathers making the Christian statements, and the United States was based upon Christian Baptist beliefs. The Providence of Rhode Island was an independent Baptist Providence, and they had great influence in our Constitution. It was a Christian nation, but if we had someone come to visit our country now, I wonder what they would say. Would it still be that Christian nation? And it's going to get more and more difficult in our life to be able to stand up against those things that will be against us. And the world will be more and more against us. But we need more men full of faith to trust in God without doubt and without fear. Without fear. Scripture says in other parts of the Word of God, I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. I love Miss Webster and Brother Webster. They tease each other a lot. And the other day, we were just driving down the road, and he looked over here, and they were saying something. And he said, woman, do you want me to kill you? I'll just take care of all your problems. And she said, you can't threaten me with heaven. I mean, well, I'll go to heaven. I got lots of people there that love me more than you, evidently. And me and Angela were just chuckling in the back. She had no fear. She knew he wasn't going to do anything anyway. But full of faith to have to serve the Lord in spite of the threats. After verse number 8, he gets right into trouble, right into a difficulty, right into life-dangering a situation. So we see there in verse number 8, he was full of faith and power. Also, we can see that he was full of grace. In chapter 6, verse number 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. The first person they chose was Stephen. He was full of grace. This was a gift of God. And he was a man who willingly proved himself not to anyone around him, but proved his service to the Lord. He looked upon people with grace. He looked upon people with a smile on his face. I love in verse number 15. And it says, and they sat in the council and looked steadfastly on him. And he saw his face. It had been the face of an angel. You know, it's hard sometimes when people are looking at you and they're thinking about picking up a stone to throw it at you and to kill you, and yet you stand there with a look of love and grace and passion on someone's face. It was a love and it was a desire in his heart. He was not a man who was willing to fight. He was going to stand firm for what he knew what God said. And we can see from scripture there in verse number 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. So no doubt he was unwilling to compromise what he believed and what he knew God said from the word of God. But at the same time, he didn't do it with an argumentative spirit. He didn't do it with a mean spirit. He did it with grace. One thing I like about our pastor, he's always talking with a smile. Preacher's always talking with a smile. It's a great thing. It's awesome. It was full of grace. It's hard to argue with somebody when you're smiling at them. Next time you argue with your wife, smile at her the whole time. It'll drive them crazy, or vice versa. Full of grace. Here are people that were literally waiting, literally ready to stone him. And the Bible says there in verse number 58 of chapter number 7, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And in the face of all of that, the Bible says that his face still shone. He was full of grace. Even at the time of death, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's full of grace. Full of grace. Thirdly, he was full of power. He was full of power. You look back over to verse number 8 of our text, and Stephen, full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. God had given him an ability to do special things, to show and to help to see, help people to see the gospel and to see the word of God. God had given him full ability to preach and to stand firm and to work and to serve the Lord. He was full of power, and he had, the Bible says here, he had ability to do things. I believe he had ability to do some miracles and things like that. But really, I want us to really focus in on the power that he had, not to do miracles, things, but power to preach, power to proclaim God's word. The best way to close an argument with somebody is quote scripture. Even the lost world, they may not recognize this and they may not like it, but as soon as you start quoting scripture to them, arguments end really fast. Why? Because scripture is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even unto dividing asunder of soul and spirits, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has power. The Word of God carries with it an ability to overcome, to resist Satan. Here is a man who had the ability from God to not shrink in the face of great opposition. He was full of power. It was God's ability. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Other versions will change that. And they'll change it to this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know, English words are different. They mean different things. Who and which mean totally different things. Totally different things. Electricity is a thing which allows machines to operate, to move, to go forward. The machine doesn't drive because electricity grants it power. The machine drives because it's the driver of it. And so I have the power to do amazing things. Can I have the power to give out the gospel? Yes, you certainly can. Can I have the power to talk to somebody at the gas station pump and tell them about Harvest Baptist Church? Yes, it's one of my favorite places. You're going to be at the gas station forever now. And they got to wait, so give them the gospel. Where are they going to go? I love it. I love it. Give out the gospel. He was a man full of power, but it wasn't his own power. It was the power that God gave him to be able to do amazing things, to be able to stand firm against the opposition, to be able to preach God's word boldly, to be able to give out the gospel, to be able to help people in their times of need. But also, fourthly, I got a lot of these. Fourthly, he was full of light. Love in verse number 15. And all that sat in council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face had been the face of an angel. It shone. There was a light about him. There was a glow about him. There was something different about him as he was there. One of the things about, we've had four children, and one of the things you notice about ladies once they're pregnant, they have a glow, right? They have this weird smile about them. They're happy. They have this glow about them. You can just tell there's something different about them. You can just tell they're excited. In the mornings, not so much, but in the daytime, there's a glow, right? It's a glow. I haven't been able to see Ashley, and from the conversations, the glow doesn't last very long. She's struggling. But there's always this glow about you. You know, when we walk the mall, there ought to be a glow about us. There ought to be something that shines from us. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." There ought to be something different about you. We've had several times right here in the valley, people have come up to us at Walmart and say, "What church do you go to?" I didn't say a word to them. They literally came up to us and said, "What church do you go to?" And we gave them a track and we said, "We're from Harvest Baptist Church. You ought to come visit us." And once from Mountainside Baptist Church, we gave them a track and they said, "We could tell you guys were Christians. And we could tell you guys go to church." I'd be a glow about you. I'd be something different about you. As I said about the smiling thing, you ought to go to a mall and just walk the mall smiling. People will avoid you like the plague because nobody smiles in our world anymore. But we ought to be Christians that are happy. And let the light of Christ shine through us. God says we ought not like be like that bushel and push it over and try to hide it. We ought to be full of light. Here was a man who was in the face of it. And people were gnashing on him with their teeth. They were attacking him. They were trying to discourage him. They were trying to change his doctrine. They were trying to change the way he believed. They were trying to discourage him. And through the face of all that, his face shone. God gave him this power and the Holy Spirit gave him this power. And he let his light shine to those that were around him. It was unmistakable. They looked around and no one else was glowing like he was. No one else shone like he was. Be proud to be a child of God. Let people see it. Let them see that you're a child of God. Let your light so shine before men. I would always encourage our teenagers. Teenagers always tell me this. Well, I want to be different. Great. Not weird, different. But I'm not sure what the distinction is, but people always want to be different. So I would always tell my teenagers, especially if they're going to public school, you got to take your Bible, put it on the outside of your bag so you can see Holy Bible on it, carry it around. And I've had them, I don't want to be that different. You know, there's a lot of adults doing the same thing. I don't want to shine too much. My batteries are almost out. I'll put those in my flashlight. I don't want to shine bright for the world. But no, Stephen says, I want to let them all see. I want to let the world see. And I remember, he's not an apostle. He's not Peter. He's not James or John. He's none of the apostles. This is just a simple man in the church. He's now a deacon within the church. But this was just a layman in the church. He was shining so brightly. And he had such a testimony with the lost world that they wanted to stone him. I believe that's why a lot of our men today don't shine as they ought to. They're afraid of what the world might say or discourage them. Next one, he was full of Scripture. Verse number 8 there. And Stephen, full of faith, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there rose certain of the synagogue, which were called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Syrians and the Alexandrians, of them of Cilicia and Asia, and disputed with this Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So in verse number 7, he begins to preach unto them. And this is what this man preached. He literally preached the history of Israel from Abraham all the way to Christ. This was a man. This was not the apostles. This was not Peter. This was not John. This was none of the three inner circle. This was a man of the church. This was a deacon within the church. And yet he knew this word of God so much that without really from scripture, I believe he just did this from memory. He did this from his mind, from his heart. He literally preached the word of God from Abraham all the way to Christ and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He biblically expounded scripture and he preached an expository message on the history of Israel. And this was a deacon and he knew his Bible. He knew the word of God. We need more churches in our world today. We need more godly men within the church that know their Bible from cover to cover. One of the things that Brother Webster used to say, there may come a time when the preacher gets up in the pulpit and says something and they come in and arrest him for speaking what he spoke in the pulpit. My pastor would encourage the men of the church there, especially Liberty Baptist Church, if when they start doing that, by the time they get done, there should be no more men within the church. Because as soon as the preacher gets done, the next man stands up and starts preaching the same thing. And they arrest every man in the church because they're all preaching and knowing the Word of God the same. The same. You look back to Acts, and later on in Acts, as Paul was preaching, and he gets over to his church, and the Bible says the message was preached, but they didn't just take it. They went home and searched the Scripture to see if these things were so. They knew the Word of God. Remember Apollos. The Bible says Apollos was a great preacher of the Word of God, and it was not an apostle. It was not a pastor that came and took him and expounded to him the Word of God more perfectly. No, it was Aquila and Priscilla. People within the church that knew the Bible, that could expound the Word of God. This was a man who knew his Scripture. He knew the Word of God. You ought to get your King James Bible out and read the Word of God and study the Word of God and be ready. Our brother here tonight, he said he was glad that preacher now is here because he didn't have to preach tonight. We took his place for him. We got to be ready to go, ready to preach the Word of God. Also, we see that he was full of wisdom. The Bible says in our text, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. He was full of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. The wisdom to ability to know how to react in every situation. This was a man who knew how to speak to these individuals, and he knew how to work within his church. They needed men to be able to discern which widow needed this material and which widow needed this food and which person needed this. They needed a man with some wisdom about him, some character about him, to be able to make wise, the right decisions. Pastors need men to help him make wise, right decisions within the church, men with wisdom. The Bible says the apostles, they were in charge and they were head of the finances and they were to take those finances and they needed some wise men to be able to appoint it their business at the end of verse number 3. And they needed some men with some wisdom to be able to say, this is where it needs, we should pull this way and this way and this way and this way. Men of wisdom. Wisdom to be able to do the things that were right. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James chapter 1 verse number 5 says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. If you need wisdom, ask for it. And God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give you all the wisdom you need. He was full of courage. He was a man who preached and stood in the face of death and was not troubled. Men, if you go to prison, if you don't renounce Christ, do you renounce Christ? I encourage you, if you never had a chance to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's a book full of Christians that had courage to stand when it was time. We have a world now trying to describe us as they, them, and theirs. But God says he and her. Many people are willing to stand up and tell some people the truth about the Word of God and still tell people. I found it interesting. A month and a half ago, we couldn't describe a woman. We weren't allowed to define a woman. A week ago, now all of a sudden, we can define a woman just like that now, right? Isn't it interesting? Also, lastly, he was full of love. If you take your Bible and go back to the end of chapter number 7, the testimony of Stephen. He's preached this message. He's preached a powerful message. He's expounded the Word of God. He showed them their sin. He showed them as a nation. They rejected the testimony of the Lord. They rejected the gospel, Jesus Christ. They rejected his resurrection. They rejected his death upon the cross. He rejected all of those things. Verse number 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." I find it interesting. I had somebody come to Mountainside while we were preaching over there, and they didn't want to come back because they say, "Man, he preaches mean. He said some mean things." And I thought, Jesus called people serpents and everything else. And read through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul had some sharp messages. And then you look here to Stephen, and he looked at him and said, "You guys are a bunch of hard-headed, stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart." And that was a very, very hard thing to say to a Jew. But he did it all with love. He told him the truth. It may sting a little, but it was still the truth. Do y'all remember when you used to get punished by your parents? Some of you remember it way more than you should have, right? Remember when they used to tell you, this is gonna hurt me more than it's gonna hurt you? And you knew that was completely false. Completely false. But they did it out of love. They're trying to teach you. They were trying to teach you. Here was a man who looked at him and his heart broke. He saw these men with their hard hearts and unwillingness to hear the Word of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to show them their need. And his heart broke. Like what one commentator put it this way: the stones broke Stephen's head, but not his heart. He looked to them in verse number 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not their sin to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Even as the stones came and struck his body, he was still praying for him. He was still loving him. Grace gave him this forgiving heart. He was full of grace. He told him the truth, and the truth stung. It cut through the heart like the Bible always will do. He wasn't willing to soften the message just to appease a crowd. He gave it to him in love and compassion. It hurt a little bit, but sometimes you got to rip the bandage off. But you can still do it with love, and that's what Stephen did. And even through all of that, he loved those as they killed him. I believe this man directly led to the salvation of Paul. In fact, Paul even says so in Acts chapter 22, verse 20. He gave testimony of Stephen, who was we stoned, and that began the conviction of Paul's heart. The remarkable defense of Stephen, in which he summarized the Old Testament teaching to provoke the Jewish leaders so much that they cast him out of the city and brutally stoned him to death. But God, however, can take the wrath of man to praise him. And thus, the prominent fruit of Stephen's martyrdom was the conviction and conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And this was a man who witnessed Stephen's murder. He condoned it. He's the one that sanctioned it. Really, truly, Stephen's character is worthy of emulation. Churches all across America need Stephens. They need more of them. Certainly, they need more Phillips. They need more men like Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas. They need more of these type of men. So the question is tonight, will you men be a Stephen? Will you be a Stephen? Will you be the man that harvest needs and that this world needs. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for this opportunity to look into the Word of God, to study your Word of God, to look into this man's life, Stephen. Or he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one that followed Christ throughout his whole ministry and was there in the upper room or anything like that. He was just a man that wanted to serve the Lord. He came on the scene and had a great impact. And here was a man who was just a layman in the church, yet he had the greatest influence, probably one of the greatest apostles, Apostle Paul. But oh, that our churches would have more men like Stephen all across the world. Churches need men like Stephen. I just pray that you bless our service tonight and bless each one of the men that are here. Thank you for their faithfulness. We ask all these things.